in Mark 10, verse 45. Mark 10, verse 45. And it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Many of us, we serve and we serve and we serve and we serve and we serve, but we never allow Jesus to serve us. The reason why we are never feeling refreshed, the reason why many of us don't experience the energeo or the life and the light and the joy that we preach about so often is because we never allow ourselves to be served by Jesus. But yet, Jesus very clearly says he didn't come here for us to serve him. He came to serve us. Many of the religious mindsets will not be able to believe what I'm saying. Because in religion, it's like, no, we must serve, we must give, we must do, we must, everything we do is we must. No. But Jesus said, no, he did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Not only did he come to serve, but he came to give. To give his whole life as a ransom. Now, all of us know what a ransom is. A ransom is something that needs to be paid for somebody that has been taken captive against their will. A ransom is something that needs to be paid for somebody who is in a place of captivity that is in fear because they don't know what the outcome will be. They don't know if they're going to die or if they're going to be set free. Is somebody actually going to pay a ransom for me or not? Do my family actually have the money to pay this? But yet Jesus came and paid the ultimate price for you and I to be set free forever. The ransom for our lives was paid, full stop. No longer at all are we in a place of captivity where we need to be under fear, anxiety, and pressure and all those things. Why? Because Jesus paid it with his life. But he didn't just come to give, he came to serve us. Amen? Now, there's so much that I want to say to you, but I want us to just go into one portion of scripture quickly. But before I get into that, in saying that Jesus came to serve us and not for us to serve him, you know, the Gospels speak about the different roles of Jesus, and it explains Jesus in different ways. Now, the Gospel of Mark speaks about Jesus as the suffering servant, Jesus who came as the servant for us. Now, the funny thing is that the person who wrote the Gospel of Mark, which is Mark, was a failed servant. He failed when he was to serve Paul, and Paul had put away with him. He's like, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to use him again. But yet Paul called him again and used him again to serve. But the one who failed as a servant was chosen to write about the servant who can never fail, which is Jesus. So out of all of them, the one who failed wrote about the one who can never fail. Because remember, everything that was written was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But it's to show us the goodness and the grace of the God that we serve. It doesn't matter what we think we need to do, we need to perform, what we need to work at. We can never work to accomplish something. We can never work to receive. For Jesus to be able to serve us, we don't need to work first. We don't need to serve him first and then he serves us. No. He just wants to serve us. Amen? So it says, like I just said, for the For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. When Jesus came, he did not come to be served by us, but rather for us to serve. But rather to serve us. Our Lord is rich in everything we need, and his desire is simply for us to receive from him. Many of us think that we are full of many things, that we think that we are rich, not rich in finances, but rich with so much because we hear so much and we're filled with so much. Many of us think we have everything that we need in our actions. I'm not talking in our mindsets, in our actions. Yet Jesus is the one who is filled with everything, and we need to be filled by him so that we are filled enough to be able to give. It doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from him first, and then we can give to others. Amen. Now, as I was working on this, I read something that I've never been somebody that's been so big on the Old Testament. I think the English was a bit too much for me in the Old Testament that I'd never really caught onto it. But when I saw this thing, so I want us to go to Exodus 21. And I need to hurry up because I really don't have a lot of time. But in Exodus 21, there's a portion of scripture that I've never read before, in the sense of read it with eyes of actually seeing what I'm reading. But I want to show us how Jesus didn't just come to serve us at the cross. He didn't just, which is the past. He came to serve us right now, and he will serve us for all eternity. But let's just look quickly at Exodus 21. This is right before the Ten Commandments were given. We know the Ten Commandments were in Exodus 20. God told Moses to write the laws concerning the Hebrew servant. So I'm just going to read from my notes. I hope it's the same translation. Now, these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be the master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or to the doorposts, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, what I found so powerful in that scripture, I don't know how I'm going to get across the whole message today, because there's so much that I want to say, and I kind of want to stick to notes, but I know that I shouldn't, because I'm not going to get everything across. But what I found so powerful when I was reading that scripture is that this Hebrew servant is being made reference of Jesus. Jesus is the reference that's being made of this Hebrew servant. So in those times, when you had the servants had the ability to, or when they couldn't pay their debts, so whatever reason they became a servant for, they had to serve for 6 years. And on the seventh year, they had the ability to go free, as we just read. But now, if the servant loved the master, the wife, and the children enough, remember, if that servant was given a wife that then bore him children by the master, that wife and children had to stay with the master and he could go free. But if he chose to stay with the master, stay with the wife, and stay with the children because he loved them, then they would have to go before the priest. He would get tagged on the ear with a tag, and he will be a servant forever. Now, this is so powerful when you look at it in the life of what Jesus did for us. God as the master, Jesus as the servant who came to serve us. We as a collective, the wife of Jesus that was given by the master. And then individually, we are the children. But what I also saw for myself is not just each one of us as the children, but also the fruit that you and I produce with Jesus, the fruit of our works that we produce with Jesus is the same thing. But Jesus loved us so much that he chose not to go back. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus cried out, "Not my will, but your will be done," he had the ability to go back to heaven. He had the ability at any given time to return back to the Father, leave us hopeless, completely dismayed and damned, and never to be reunited with the Father. He had the ability to choose to do that. You might not believe it, but Jesus had the ability to choose to return at any given time. When Peter wanted to cut off the soldier's ear, when he did in that moment, didn't Jesus say to them that I have the ability to call on 12 legions of angels to come on my behalf? If one angel slayed how many thousands of men in the Old Testament, imagine how many 12,000 legions of angels had the ability. So Jesus could have done anything in that moment. But instead, he chose to be our servant forever. Why? Because he loved us enough that he chose not to go free, but he chose to remain our servant forever. And if we, I'm not going to go to the scripture reference, but if we go into Psalms 40 verse 6, the whole Psalms 40 talks about Jesus. But in verse 6, it talks about the ear that was opened, which in another, well, in the whole Hebrew and the explanation of it, it talks about actually a piercing, which proves this piercing. It's scripture interpreting scripture. Jesus's ear being pierced. When it says that when the servant decides to stay with the master and the wife and the children, then they have to go to the door or the doorposts to the priest. When Jesus hung on the cross, what did he hang? It was the doorpost that he hung upon. His hands and his feet and his head, his brow, his side, his heart, everything was pierced forever. Now with this Hebrew servant, when that servant decided to stay, because he loved them enough and he got the piercing on the ear, the tag on his ear. Imagine how much that wife and those children and that master loved that servant. Every time that servant was walking and they saw this tag in the ear, they knew that he gave up his life to serve because he loved me enough. So Jesus gave up, and every time we see Jesus, we are to be reminded of how much he loved us, that he chose to give up his life for you and I. He chose to give up the fullness of what he was in God because he loved us enough, because the master loved us enough that he sent us his son, the servant, to serve us forever. If God never gave us the servant in the first place, if God never took a servant for himself, sent him to us, gave us to him to be his wife, we produce children together, but also we are the children. If God never decided to do that, you and I would not be sitting here today. Many of us would be dead. Many of us would be eternally separated already from God. But because God chose to send his servant to serve us for all eternity, when you feel like you are in the background, when you feel you are down and out, what is Jesus doing in that moment right now for you and I? He is sitting on the right hand of the Father as our high priest, making intercession on behalf of us. When John had the revelation of Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, he saw a golden girdle around Jesus. This is the same golden girdle that the same golden girdle that it speaks about when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples. Now, we know that that act of washing your feet at that time was one of the lowest things you would have to perform in that time. None of the disciples chose to do it. Everyone had their own reason why they didn't want to do it. And I don't have the time to get into the joke because it's actually pretty funny. But none of them wanted to do it. But what did Jesus do? He decided to get up. He decided to take off what he needed to take off, have this girdle with him, and he washed the feet of the disciples. And we know, I don't have time to read the scriptures, but we know that Peter said, but you can't do this. Maybe just go to that portion where Peter said that. I know it is in John, I think. I think it's verse 6. Yeah. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Not no part in me, no part with me. So when Jesus said you have no part with me, he's explaining that you can't walk with me. Not that you are not in me. So I don't have time to go into all of that. Beforehand, you're always stressed, like, are you going to have enough to say? And then you get up here and you're like, oh, Lord. So what happened is that when Jesus is that word with and not in, let me actually finish the story, then I'll explain it. Okay. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. So first Peter is saying, no, you can't wash my feet. You know, the religious thinking, no, Jesus can't serve me. So first he's saying no. Then Jesus said, okay, well, then you can't be with me. So then he's like, okay, well, then wash the whole part of me. I'll wash my whole body. My hands, my feet, my head, my everything. Jesus answered, those who had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, not everyone is clean. So the one person that Jesus was referring to there, and you'll understand now why I'm explaining it, was Judas. So Judas was the one person that wasn't clean. But now, to get back to what I wanted to explain, the reason why Jesus said that you don't have to rewash your whole body, because your whole body is washed in the blood, with the blood. That is your whole body that needs to be washed. That is salvation. You only need to go through salvation once. You only need to receive him once, the washing of the blood once. But the washing of your feet with water, which is the water being washed with the water of his word, or washing with the word of, yeah, you get it. My tongue is tied at the moment. Point is that only his feet needed to be washed, not his whole body. Why? Because you don't use blood to wash the feet. It is by the washing of the word. Our feet is known as the gospel of peace. So the feet needs to be washed. So in those times, we understand that they obviously wore sandals and they walked everywhere and their feet were dusty. So it was custom for them that they had to wash their feet and so on when they get into a place to wash all the dirt off. What is this dirt, the dust that is gathered on their feet? Flesh. Our bodies, our flesh is made up of dust. So there comes dust into our lives that weigh us down, that weighs down our peace. There's circumstances, anxieties, whether it's through television, whether it's through conversation, whether it's through circumstances, whatever it might be, there are things that come our way that causes our peace or our feet to gather dust. And therefore, our feet need to be washed by Jesus. How do we do that? By the washing of the word. So how do we allow Jesus to serve us? By the washing of his word. We need to be in his word daily. We need to allow ourselves to be washed. You know, a lot of times people want to just wash people's feet for the fact of washing feet. It is not just the simple act of taking water and a bucket of soap and washing their feet physically. You know, a lot of times when we want to show honor to people, we would wash their feet, right? And we leave it there. No, but every single one of us, what are we to do and how are we to serve? The same way that Jesus served, by the washing of the feet. Meaning, we wash people with the word. So we need to receive first, and then we can give to others. But if we are unable to receive from him, obviously not just the word, but we need to receive our healing. We need to receive our miracle. We need to receive our breakthrough. We need to receive everything that Jesus has for us. Now, the thing is what like hit me again, if I can say it like that. I know I joked last time about a archive, your whole spiritual archive, because there's so much. Sometimes some of the revelation that you've heard or some of the things that you remember is in the back of the archives and it needs to be brought forth. But then I realized again that literally every single thing that Jesus came to do on this earth, every single thing was an act of service. He came as the servant for us. If you look at when he took the fish and the bread, when he multiplied it, when he asked his disciples for that, it was to serve them, to feed them. When Jesus asked them to fill the clay pot so that he can turn the water into wine, it was to serve them at the wedding, to provide for them. Every time Jesus healed somebody, delivered somebody, set someone free, Jesus did it to serve them. When Jesus went up to the mountains and he separated and he went and spent time with the Father, he went and served. He did it so that he could serve people. Why? Because Jesus said that he could do nothing and he did nothing unless he saw his Father do it. So he first had to be served so that he could serve. We first need to be served so that we can serve. What's crazy for me is that for us to be able to receive the serving of Jesus, we need to also do this by faith. We cannot receive anything from him without faith. Amen? And the crazy thing is that if you look at the Bible, we see there was a few times where Jesus spoke to people and he kind of rebuked them and he said to them, "Oh, you of little faith." He didn't say, "Oh, you of little prayer, oh, you of little fasting, oh, you of little Bible reading, or oh, you of little discipline." He said, "Oh, you of little faith." What does that faith mean? It means the hand that takes from. The hand that takes from. So when Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith," they were not taking from Jesus. They were unable to allow Jesus to serve them. You know, the Bible is very clear that it is impossible to please God without faith. So what pleases God to take more from him? If you look at the woman with the who was at the well and Jesus ministered to that woman at the well, Jesus was tired when he went there. He wanted to rest, but he still chose to minister to that woman. And when he ministered to that woman, after that he was refreshed. Where many of us, we are weakened after we minister, Jesus was refreshed and he was renewed by ministering. So the more that he can minister to us, the more that he can serve us, the happier and the more pleased he is. I know that it's difficult for some people to catch, and I don't have time to go too much deeper. When you look at Mary and Martha, we all know the story of them. Martha obviously was serving. They saw Jesus coming and she was the one preparing and she was busy with many things. And Mary was the one sitting at Jesus' feet, allowing Jesus to serve her. Martha obviously became very upset and she had many troubles on her. And she went to Jesus and she said, "Hey, Jesus, my sister's just sitting there doing nothing. And I have to do all this stuff. Tell her to come and," I'm just paraphrasing, "but tell her to come and help me." What happened is when Mary was unable to receive from grace, even her thoughts became hard. When you are unable to receive from Jesus, your way of thinking, your reaction towards things becomes hard. And we see that obviously Jesus didn't say, "Hey, Mary, get up and go help your sister." No. But the thing was, is that Mary was so consumed by many things, she didn't do the one thing that needed to be done. Where Mary did not do the many things, and she was not consumed by the many things because she did the one thing, and that was allowing Jesus to serve her. Many of us become so overwhelmed with life. We become so overwhelmed with everything that's going on. And I really do mean it. Serving is absolutely anything that you do. Because why? Your life is doing something. Whether you're serving with a happy attitude, whether you're serving not happy, whether you're doing something with a cheerfulness or a uncheerfulness, when you're busy doing something, you're still busy doing something on behalf of someone or for someone. Even you working, you're serving your boss. You might be being paid for your service, but you're still serving. So something that really touched me, and this is the part where I really don't want to cry. And I just want to get to it, and I'm going to just end off with this thing. But we know in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, like we read, where it says, "The Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served and to give his life for a ransom." Let's see what the very next scripture says. "Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he had heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabboni,'" I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah. Okay, Postman Austin can say it. "I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, I'm going to read a few things and I'm going to speak a few things, but Jericho was known, because this man was in Jericho. Jericho was known as the city of the curse since the time that Joshua cursed it in the Old Testament. Joshua was the commander of the army of Israel, and he led Israelites in conquering the city of Jericho because God had promised them the land. They walked around the city for 7 days, shouted in unison, and on the seventh day, the walls of the city crumbled. Then Joshua charged them, saying, "Cursed be the..." Okay. He told them that if anyone wants to rebuild it, so it'd be cursed. So then it was cursed, because there was people in Kings 1 verse 16 that rebuilt it. So Jericho was rebuilt and was known as the city of a curse. But Jesus came to this cursed city of Jericho to save everyone who would look upon him. Like Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, and Zacchaeus, the tax collector. This is a picture of how Jesus came to save us all. Okay, so when Jesus meets Bartimaeus, I'm not going to read the scripture again, but let's just briefly read it. Okay, now he came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, his disciple gave, and the great multitude was with him. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat on the road begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, let me just say something. That statement, Jesus of Nazareth, that was a derogatory statement to, or a title to call Jesus in that time, because Nazareth was known as a not such a great place in that time. But Bartimaeus was the first person to recognize Jesus as the Son of David, even though he heard, because remember, he couldn't see, even though he heard them say, "Jesus of Nazareth," he was the first one who had the ability to see further than anyone else could see. He was blind, but he had the ability to see further than every single one of them that had their sight. And he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the thing is I don't have time to go into it, but the thing is that the when Joshua shouted out, and the people that were with Joshua, they shouted out, and the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, and it was in Jericho. Now, this blind Bartimaeus was in Jericho as well. He was known as the son of, do you know? Hey? Yes, but let me just quickly. The name Timaeus comes from the Hebrew word Tamaya, which means unclean. So his actual name was not even Bartimaeus, but they called him son of the unclean. Now, what stood out so crazy for me there is that I realized, but before I say that, so Bartimaeus, in the same place that Joshua and all the people shouted out and the walls of Jericho fell down, Bartimaeus shouted out to Jesus, the son who caused those walls to come down, shouted to him, and the walls of blindness of his eyes fell down. But even more, when Joshua and them had to fight, and Joshua asked for the sun, or commanded the sun to stand still, and the sun stood still so that they could overcome. The one who caused the sun to stand still is the same Jesus in person who, for a beggar, caused them to have sight to see. But what was so crazy that stood out for me is that both of them shouted, and walls came down. But Joshua was a king, and Bartimaeus was a blind beggar on the street. And because of what his name means, it wasn't even his fault. It was son of the unclean. Son. Not man of the unclean. So it wasn't him who was unclean. It was before him, his father, that was unclean, that caused him to have this blindness and be begging forever. Many of us have been in situations and our lives have turned out because of what our previous generations. But if we can just cry out, a beggar cried out to Jesus and he saved his soul. But what's so powerful is that everywhere that you see Jesus healing people and delivering people, not one time did Jesus say to them, now you come and follow me. Or now you come and do this. Every time Jesus said, go your way. Every time Jesus didn't tell them to, he put no responsibility on them for healing them, for setting them free. But all of them chose to follow him. They chose to serve him. When Jesus serves us, there is no requirement put on us to do anything, to perform anything. But when we are served by him, when we are refreshed and renewed by him, when we are washed by his word, when we are healed, saved, and delivered, when we are prospering, he doesn't require us to do something in return. Yet our lives will automatically want to do so much for him. Many of us are already trying to do so much, but we are doing it without being served by him first. There's literally so much more that I can say, but I don't have the time because I'm already late for that side. And it's you guys have to go for Mother's Day. But if I can leave you with one thing, that from today, instead of your mindset just being, I need to give, 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 even when you go into your secret place, don't go just to, how can I say, perform the ritual of worshiping, perform the ritual of prayer, because you have to do it, you have to do it, you have to do it. Just go in to receive. When you read the word, be washed by the word. Allow Jesus to serve you. As you're worshiping, he's not seeking worship. He's seeking worshipers. If he wanted worship, the angels were enough. There's how many angels busy worshiping him and even serving him. If he wanted to be served, the angels serve him. There's enough angels to do all of that. We are to worshipers, be worshipers, and allow him to serve us. We are going to continue with this tonight. I know that I feel like I'm leaving it half. But did you receive something this morning? Yeah. I want you moms, dads, and every single person to be encouraged. Get to a place of where your mindset can change off of performance, that you need to perform, perform, perform. I'm not saying don't serve people. I'm not saying don't give your life for people. I'm not saying don't teach people. Your life is serving you, whether you like it or not. You know, the highest position in the kingdom of God is servanthood. But what I am saying is allow Jesus to serve you. While you're sitting and reading his word, don't read to find this perfect revelation. Don't read to have this crazy thing stand out. No, just sit there in rest. When you have peace, you have rest. When we are led by the Spirit of God, it is the Spirit of God that leads us. Yes, we are able to hear God's voice because it says, my sheep will hear my voice. But most of the time, we are led by the Spirit. But now the thing is for us to be led by the Spirit, we need to take action. We need to take a step of faith to be led by the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God needs to be able to say to us, yes, no, hold on, go in that direction. And then you go and you move with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But it requires a step of faith. You have to do something, because if we're just waiting for the Holy Spirit to move us, it ain't gonna happen. He's waiting for us to make the move and he will move with us. Amen? Amen. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Martin so he can just close for us. But thank you so much to everybody that was here. Happy Mother's Day again to everybody. Everybody that's watching us online. And I forgot to say this earlier on, but Prophet sends his love. He really does. They're doing an amazing work in the UK. We miss him like crazy at home. But he sends his love and he says Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers as well. I know I'm not his voice, but I am half of his voice. So Happy Mother's Day to all of you. We love you guys so much and have a wonderful day. Dads, make sure you celebrate your wives. Cook for them, take them out, but be back tonight. Amen. We'll